الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صلوات. Tabrik and congratulations to all of you, respectable brothers and sisters. As we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this further blessing to give us the tawfiq to be in this year's month of Ramadan and benefit from the ziyafat and hosting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He has hosted His servants as His guests. Month of Ramadan has approximately 100 names in Islam, and each of those 100 names have been given for the reasons that are important to understand. But the most important name of the month of Ramadan is what our scholars say is Shahrullah. That month of Ramadan is the month of Allah. We have Shahrul Inaba, month of return, that means return towards Allah. Shahrul Tawbah, month of turning towards Allah and doing the repentance. We have month Shahrun Tamhu Fihi Sayyi'at, month where the sins are erased. We have Shahrul Rahma, month of mercy, Shahrul Maghfira, month of forgiveness, and so on and so forth. There's approximately 100 names that have been counted by the scholars. And the most important name, Shahrullah, is what is we learn from what we learn also, what we learn from the Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, where he says, Assalamu alayka ya shahr Allah al-Akbar wa ya Eida awliya'ihi. Imam al-Sajjad al-Islam in his Sahifa addresses the month of Ramadan itself by saying salam to it, my salam to you, O the greatest month of Allah and the Eid of his beloved servants. Assalamu alayka ya akraba mashubim min al-awqat. Salam to you, O the most honorable companion from the times. وَيَا خَيْرَ شَهْرٍ فِي الْأَيَّامِ وَالسَّاعَاتِ And the best of the month among the days and the times. السلام عليك يا شهر يا من شهر قربت فيه الأعمال. Salam to you. So he relates this month to be the month where the hopes are close. So this month of Allah is the only month which is mentioned in the Holy Quran. As you know, on the first day, I mentioned about the fiqh siyam and some of the rulings of Islamic jurisprudence as my fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that our youth and children and the elders get the reminder, and the youth, if they don't know, they learn about some of the rulings of the fasting, so we enter into the month correctly and appropriately. Inshallah, in the upcoming nights, I have in my mind to talk about Waliyul Asl, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, Al-Imam, Sahib al-Zaman, alayhi salatu wa salam. The month of Ramadan is, according to Nasikh al-Tawarikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this fasting wajib in the final, in the end of the month of Sha'ban, in the second of the Hijrah. And this is where, you know, according to the Nasikh al-Tawarikh, this ayat of the Holy Quran was revealed, which I recited in the beginning of my speech from Surah Al-Baqarah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been made a fariḍa upon you. Kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, the way it was made a fariḍa on those who were before you. La'allakum tattaqoon, so maybe you become muttaqi. So the purpose of fasting is Allah wants us to become ahlul taqwa, fear Allah from our heart. And according to this narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about the zaman and time of the fasting, and this verse of Holy Quran was revealed: Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. So the month of fasting is the month of Ramadan where the Quran has been revealed. That's another name of this month is Shahr Ramadan, which is very common. The greatest name is what our scholars and Urafa say is Shahrullah. But the most common and famous name is Shahr Ramadan. And also another one is Shahrun Unzila Fihi al-Quran. This is the month where the Quran is revealed. This is one of the most significant aspects of this month is the revelation of Quran takes place in this month. And another most significant aspect of this month is that this is the month of where the night of Qadr is available. All the destiny of the humans for the next 1 year is decided and sent by Allah to the Imam and the Wali and the Mawla of the time, which today is Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif wa alayhi salatu wasalam. If you recall, in the first night, last night, there is a long dua, I think about 2.5-3 pages long dua that we read. And there are several du'as that we read in the night before Ramadan. We do the istiqbal of Shahrullah. And one of those du'as, we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, on these lines that, write me, include me among those. Because obviously this is the month where the Laylatul Qadr is there, and our destiny is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to basically include us among the su'ada, among those who are sa'id and sa'adatmand and spiritually and eternally successful. Our destiny is written in this month for the next in the night of Qadr is sent, you know, for the next 1 year. So this is Ramadan. The word Ramadan in Arabic is derived from Ramad in Arabic, which means it has two meanings. One is the Ishraq, it's the, you know, sun rays falling over the sand. This is what in Arabic we call it Ramad. And the second reason, Arbabul Lugha, and the scholars of Lughat say, is that it's the rain in the fall season. The rain showering down in the fall season is called, is, you know, this is what we call it. And it's the month of Ramadan is named after that, because just like the rain of the fall season erases the dust settled in the summertime over the things, similarly, the month of Ramadan erases the sins of the people and the bad deeds of the people. So every ibadat excuse me, is different from fasting. No ibadat has a comparison with fasting, because there is no ibadat in Islam for which you find a statement like this. We have hadith narrated in Kanzul Irfan, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, according to this hadith, that قال الله تبارك وتعالى, Allah تبارك وتعالى said, كل عمل ابن آدم هو له. Every action of the son of Adam, that means, in other words, every action of the human is for him. غير الصيام, except the fasting. هو لي, that means fasting belongs to me. وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and I am the one who is going to reward it. There is no ibadat in Islam for which you find this kind of tone from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no ibadat in Islam for which you find this kind of reward mentioned. Every ibadat is for us, for ourselves, you know. Our scholars say in the tafsir that every ibadat is different. One of the aspects from which the fasting is unique from all the rest is that it's unknown to anyone unless and until you say it, you tell it. If you are praying, it's known to the people. People can see you are praying. If you go for jihad, if you do amr bil ma'ruf, you do nahi anil munkar, if you give away fitra, you're giving money, somebody is receiving it. Someone, at least somebody is knowing that you are giving. Isn't it right? So you go for hajj, the whole, you know, millions of people can see it. Fasting is different. No one can see it. It's the madhar of the ikhlas of the abd towards Allah. Sincerely. Unless you speak from your tongue, no one would discover that you are fasting. It has to be the madhar of ikhlas, because also we have the hadith of Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha in her khutbah. According to that narration, in her khutbah that she delivered in front of the Tahut, she mentioned some of the wisdoms of some of the rulings of Islam, which is one of the greatest remarkable information data that we have in our hands, alhamdulillah. And in her khutbah, she has mentioned, talking about the siyam, وَالصِّيَامَ تَثْبِيتًا لِلْإِخْلَاصِ, that means the fasting. So we learn in the light of that statement that Allah made fasting for the sake of tasbeet. So He provides sabatul qadam. He provides steadfastness for us. We become sabit and steadfast and resilient and strong over, on the path of ikhlas, on ikhlas towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, another hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam in Nahj al-Balagha. In Nahj al-Balagha, he says, فرض الله الإيمان تطهيرا من الشرك. Allah made iman a fariza, so that he can clean from the shirk. This iman cleanses us from the shirk. Wal wassalata tanzihan anil kibr. And Allah made salat a fariza, in other words, so that he can clean from the kibr and takabbur and arrogance.
Was zakata tasbiban lirrisq.
And zakat was made a fariza, so he, as a cause for the risk. When you give away, you get more of the risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? In other words, so wasiyama ibtila'an li ikhlasil khalq.
And Allah made, which is very similar to what Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam has said, because they all have the same ilmul ladunni from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So he says things very, something very similar to what she said, that fasting was made, in other words, fasting was made a faridah, so Allah can test the ikhlas and sincerity of the creatures.
Wal hajj taqwiyatan lid-deen. And Allah made hajj a faridah, in other words, so that he can make the religion strong.
Religion is gets strong through the hajj if we perform it properly. So, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ زَكَاتٌ. Another hadith from Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, for everything there is a charity, there is a zakat. And then he says, زَكَاتُ الْبَدَنْ أَصْيَامٌ. The charity and zakat of the body is fasting.
لُغَةً, the word صَوْم in Arabic means imsak, keeping off something. And istilahan, in the istilah of our fiqh that we are discussing tonight, is kaffun nafs an al muftirat min al fajr sadiq ila al ghurub al shari'i qurbatan ila Allah. That's the definition in our fiqh for fasting. So siyam in our fiqh means, if you open up any book of fiqh, this is the definition that you will find about fasting. Kaffun nafs an al muftirat, keeping yourself away from those things that make the fast, that open up the fast. Keeping away from the muftir things, the breaking things, things that break the fasting. From the time of the Al-Fajr al-Sadiq, the true dawn, the time when we start our Fajr prayers, till Al-Ghurub al-Shar'i. We have Al Ghurub al-Hissi, which is the regular going down of the ball of the sun down from the visible horizon. That's not the Ghurub al-Shar'i. That's the time of Ghurub. Ghurub al-Shar'i is the time of Maghrib. There's a difference in our fiqh between Ghurub and Maghrib. We pray the Salat al-Maghrib at the time of Maghrib, not at the time of Ghurub al-Shams. Ghurub al-Shams is not Layl. That's the evening time. Even if you open up the encyclopedia of the astronomists, you will find they don't define the time of the sunset as night.
Even the non-Muslims in their astronomy and encyclopedias do not define the sunset time as night, a layl,
quote unquote. And Allah has said, "Wa atimmu siyama ila layl," right? And end the fasting up till the night.
So this is about the definition of the word siyam in Arabic. Now, obviously we have the nine muftirat in our fiqh, nine things that make the fast batil. I will go through those nine things one by one. So, and you, even if you have questions, you can ask me. This is the first night, is for the fiqh, so we understand and we practice the fasting correctly. Nine things make the fast batil. First of all is eating and drinking. Eating and drinking anything, whether it's eatable, drinkable, or it's non-eatable and non-drinkable thing. For example, somebody eats a stone, his fast will still be batil. He cannot say it's not an eatable thing. It doesn't matter it's eatable or non-eatable. anything that you eat, whether it's part of the eatables or drinkables, or it's not ma'kool and not mashroob, it's not something that can be eaten, it's not something that can be drunk, even if you eat anything which is non-eatable and non-drinkable, your fast will still become batil. Less or more does not count, any amount. So even if you have food stuck in your gums, you did not brush your teeth, for example, and some particle of the food comes into your mouth, you're not allowed to eat it. In Salat, we can eat it. In Salat, eating is not allowed to eat the food or drink during the Salat. But the particles which are left in your gums, if somebody chews that little particle into the throat, the Salat is okay. But in fasting, if any of those particles are stuck in your gums, isn't it right? You're not allowed to take those particles inside the mouth. You have to throw it out. So, this is likewise eatable, non-eatable, drinkable. Non-drinkable includes what is halal and what is haram. Eating the stone, I gave the example, it's not allowed in Islam to eat stones. So, if blood comes out from your gums, for example, you're brushing your teeth and blood comes out, it's not allowed to take the blood inside. If you take it intentionally, you have to not only do the qada, not only you have to do the kafara, but actually you have to do triple kafaras. That means, you have to do 60 fastings, 31 without gap, and 29 can be with gaps, and 60 it'amu sittina miskinan, giving food to 60 miskin mu'min people, and plus setting free a slave, which is not possible nowadays. Islam eradicated that slavery. Plus the qada, obviously, and plus the istighfar for doing, for breaking your fast intentionally, which is not allowed in Islam. So we cannot take some people, if they have little bit blood coming from the finger, they start sucking it. Eating the blood is haram in Islam. Blood is one of those, one of those 11 najasat of Islam. 11 things which are najis in Islam is blood. One of those, you cannot eat it. Second of all, sexual intercourse is haram, is muftir, is not allowed in the time of fasting. Third of all is istimna, taking the semen out intentionally or unintentionally. Unintentionally, if it comes out, it's not going to make the fasting batil, but taking that out through halal, that means you have intercourse with your wife, or through haram, any kind of activity which brings the semen out, your fasting will be batil, plus you have to pay triple penalties, just like I explained, for eating the blood. Fourth of all, ascribing nisbat, giving the nisbat of kizb and durugh and lie towards Allah or His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or the Imams, or any one of the 12 Imams. If you say, قال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam never said that. If you mention any hadith in the name of any of the Imams or Rasulullah, or that Allah has said this and this and this and this, Allah never said that. If you say that, your fasting not only will be batil, but you have to pray triple penalties. 60 fasting plus 60 miskin mu'min people, you need to give them food, plus setting free a slave, plus one qada and istighfar. Uh-huh. Then in that case, we are supposed to say that I don't remember the hadith correctly, or I don't remember the ayat correctly, and I only remember part of it, and whatever part you remember, you only mention that much part.
Or, you're welcome. Or if you are, our fuqaha, mujtahideen, have allowed us to mention an da'if, a weak, an incorrect narration by mentioning the Rawi. Kizbul qawl wa kizbul riwaya ala atikir Rawi. So, durub bi gardane Rawi. So if you mention a weak narration by mentioning the name of the Rawi, that this and this Rawi and narrator has mentioned this statement. So you're doing naqlul qawl. You're narrating someone's statement. Then you're not liable. He is liable. You're just telling it. You're not mentioning it. Naqlul qawl. You are telling what somebody has said. It's not you who is saying it. You are mentioning someone else's statement. That's allowed to say that such and such Rawi has mentioned this. Or such and such book has mentioned this. That's okay to say. But I cannot say that Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said this, unless I know that he has really said this. If I say something in the name of Ahlul Bayt, my fasting will not only be batil, but I have to pay triple penalties. Likewise, saying things about Allah, that this is the hukum of Allah, or this is wajib in Islam. We don't say like this also. When you say wajib, that means you are relating it towards, we avoid saying that, but I'm not saying. What I'm saying is that if you relate something directly to Allah, that this is the hukum of Allah. Even about wajib and haram and mustahab, we don't say like this. But what makes the fasting batil is when you relate something directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah's hukum is this. Whereas Allah never issued that hukum. Or Allah's qawl is this. Or this is hadithun qudsi, which is also the qawl of Allah. Hadithun qudsi is the qawl of Allah. But if you narrate something which is incorrect, if you don't remember some of the words, you say, this is the madmoonul kalam. This is the gist of the statement. Don't say, this is exactly the words of Allah. Say, let's be fair, about as much as we remember. If you don't remember the exact words, our scholars say, and when they talk, you look at how the scholars speak. Look at how our fuqaha, our asatidha, our mujtahideen, teachers of the hawza, how they speak. They're using words very carefully. They say, this is malmunul kalam. That's the gist of the statement. So, which means they're not telling the exact words now. There's a difference between nas and malmunul kalam. Yeah, if you cannot breathe without it, then obviously it's allowed for you to use the device for breathing. If you cannot breathe without that, that's allowed to use it. So, fifth of all, allowing intentionally the dust, the thick dust to enter into your throat. So, if it suddenly enters, you did not intentionally allow it to enter, then it's, the fasting is not batil. But if you intentionally allow the thick dust, you are standing next to the street and somebody is driving the car so fast and there's some dust, you know, going up from the wheels, and you intentionally keep your mouth open. So you are intentionally allowing a thick dust to go into your throat. Your fasting will be batil. Immersing, sixth of all, immersing your complete head into the water. You can take a shower. That's okay, because the water has sprinkles and droplets falling over your head and body. That's okay. But if you immerse your head into the tub, you gather the water into the tub and you immerse your full head into it, your fasting will be batil. So, irtimas or ramsul ma. Ramsul ma is not allowed in the fasting, and it makes the fast batil. La yartamisul muhrimu fil ma wala sa'im. Neither the muhrim person does the irtimas and immersing of the head into water, nor does the sa'im is allowed to do that. So if you immerse the complete head, if you immerse half of the head, your fast will not be batil. Immersing the complete head into water makes it batil. In seventh of all, remaining on the condition of janabat and haid and nifas till the time of the adhan of subh, the adhan of the fajr. If you know the time is short that you are unable to do the ghusl, then why enter into a situation where you will have janabat? When you know you cannot do the ghusl, the time is too short, and you cannot do the tayammum, the time is too short, and you still intentionally enter into a situation where you become mujnib, that means you are intentionally not, you don't want to fast, basically. Okay, that's what it translates into. And shar'an, that's what it is considered, intentionally ignoring the fast. So we need to be careful. If we become mujnib in the night, we need to do the wake up, put the alarm, so you have yaqeen, not ihtimal. You have yaqeen that you will wake up before the fajr to do the ghusl. You need to put the alarm. If you are your sleep is very sound and you don't wake up with the regular alarm and you intensely put the regular alarm, that means you are not serious about fasting. You need to make sure you put a strong alarm so that you have yaqeen that you are going to wake up before the fajr. Otherwise, don't sleep. Do the ghusl first. Likewise, for the sisters who are in the condition of hayd and nifas, there is the same ruling applies. You cannot sleep unless you do the ghusl first. You can sleep if you have yaqeen. You know, if you know that you will wake up, then you can go to sleep. But if you don't, if you know you're not going to wake up, let me rephrase it. If you know you are not going to wake up, you cannot sleep. If you know you are going to wake up, it's okay to go to sleep. Likewise, for istihadha, for those of the situations where mustahadha woman is supposed to do ghusl during the daytime, her ghusl done during the day is a shartun mutaakhir, a belated condition for her fasting to be valid. You know, for istihadha al-mutawassita and istihadha al-kathira, for these two categories of istihadha type of blood for the sisters, if you have that one of those two, you need to make sure that you perform the ghusl during the fasting in the daytime. If you don't do the ghusl of istihadha al-mutawassita, the medium level of istihadha, or istihadha al-kathira, the high level flow of the blood, in the daytime you didn't do the ghusl, your fast will become batil. Eighth of all is anema with the liquids. Hukne kardan emale with the liquid things. And ninth of all is vomiting. If somebody intentionally vomits, if unintentionally you end up vomiting, your fast is not going to become batil. But if you intentionally vomit, your fast will become batil. Now, if you unintentionally vomited, anything that comes out in your mouth, you're supposed to throw it out. If you take it back inside, you have to do triple kafaras, because now you broke the fast with something which is not jais to eat. It is not jais in Islam to eat what comes out in your from the stomach into the mouth. It's not jais to eat that. You have to throw it out. If you eat that and you take it back into your mouth, with the vomiting, your fast didn't become batil because you did not do it intentionally. But if you eat it, your fast will become batil, and then you have to pay triple penalties as well, apart from qada and apart from the istighfar. So these are the nine things which are necessary to be remembered. Fasting, our urufa always have a different perspective. Our urufa say that fasting is the madhar of removal of classes from the society. Please pay attention, I'm coming to the end of my speech. Fasting is the madhar and reflection of removal of classes, tabaqat, from the society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the fasting, is removing all these various tabaqat and classes of the society. This person belongs to the upper level of financial level in the society. This guy belongs to the medium financial level of the society. He belongs to the lower financial level of society. He is a poor person. This one is totally broke and destitute. Allah is bringing all of them together on one level. This is what fasting is all about.
How many people are caring about supporting other people when we go through the pain of hunger and fasting and thirst? We need to remember the suffering of those who don't have as much as we have.
If we remember, then we are benefiting from the fasting. If we don't remember those poor people, we fail to benefit from the month of Ramadan.
So this is the first thing that Urfa says. Second of all, this is fasting is a means of tawajjuh towards mahrumeen and mustadafeen, you know, those people who are deprived. We need to take care of them and provide our support and help towards them. Fasting is the zakat and charity of our bodies. Fasting is a means of tasting pains in the path of the command of Allah. This is how we are taming ourselves to learn to taste the pains in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting is an exercise of the soul, our scholars say. This is a time where soul should be allowed to exercise and work out. Just like people go to work out, similarly, this is a workout for the souls. We tame our soul to enter into the situations of exercise. Fasting is a test of the nafs, of the desires of the person. Are we mu'min enough? This is the test. Are we human enough? Because if we are human, what makes us human being? Ruhaniyat, our spirituality, not the body. Body is shared by animals as well. If we give preference to the ruhaniyat and we control our desires, this is how we become the humans. So Ramadan month is the means of testing that did we succeed in the test of controlling our nafs and desires or not. Fasting is a talqeen of sabr. That's a reminder from Allah about patience. How we need to be sabr and patient towards not only the mushkil and the tough situations, but also sabr about performing the ita'at and obediences, and sabr about abstaining from the haram. Sabr is divided into three types in ilm al-akhlaq: as-sabru ala al-musibah, as-sabru ala al-ta'a, and as-sabru anil ma'siyah. These are three types of sabr. All the three types we go through and we learn to practice in the month of Ramadan. Fasting is an intellectual exercise. Our Urfa say that this is what some of the Urfa have mentioned, that this is exercise of our aql. That means we make our aql strong as compared to our nafs. And fasting is a junnah, means a shield, sipar, a shield from the hellfire. We are preparing the shield. So tomorrow when we will be inside the graves, tomorrow when we will be resurrected on the day of judgment, tomorrow when we will be crossing on the bridge of Sirat, the fastings that we did back then in the life of dunya is serving as a shield, blocking the flames of fire from reaching our body. And fasting is a means, last of all, fasting is a means of two happinesses. What are the two happinesses that these scholars are talking about? One happiness is at the time of iftar, and one happiness fasting brings for us at the time of death. What is the happiness at the time of iftar? Our dua is accepted. At the time of iftar, whatever dua you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the time of istijabat. One dua is accepted at the time of iftar. Whatever dua you ask. So this is one happiness for a mu'min. And the second happiness he will see at the time of his death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, give us all the tawfiq to benefit from the month of rahmat and maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we get our sins forgiven and we elevate our ruhaniyat and spirituality to the level where we can be the true supporters and followers on for the Imam and Mawla of our time, Sahibul Asr wa Zaman, Al Imam Al Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wakhdhul al-Kuffara wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Wakhdhul man khadhal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfadh wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. La sayyim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur jiyush al-Muslimin wa asakir al-Muwahidin. Allahumma fukka an al-Usara' al-Muslimin. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's recite the Ayatul Kareema for all the Mumineen. Especially there's a request of for a sister who is in the hospital intensive care unit. Let's recite Ayatul Kareema 5 times for her shifa. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ 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 أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ